financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Raham.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Boys. I got to thank you because this whole project for Hug Your Money, it kind of brought to fruition my lifelong desire was, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to do cartoon voices. And welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Frances Raham. Hello.
Hey, Jay. Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
We got a little buddy in the background.
I see Pablo right there. Oh, boy. This is great.
Well, I'd love to say that that's the real Pablo, but you are the real Pablo's voice. The real Pablo's voice.
I got to thank you because this whole project for Hug Your Money, it kind of brought to fruition my lifelong desire was, you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted to do cartoon voices. I mean, as we grow up, we watch the stuff that we watch and, you know, it was like, you know, hey, boo-boo, you know, or, you know, that kind of stuff. And I really got into cartoon voices. And fortunately, I've been able to do voice work, whether it's recording commercials, being on the radio, narrating books, but never had the chance to do something, you know, cartoon characters. And this was fun. Yeah, there's Pablo and his Pirate Cove.
It was really fun. Here we are, and I'm broadcasting today from Pablo's Pirate Cove. You can see him.
Isn't he?
I love Pablo. I love Pablo. So the reason we're talking about Pablo's Pirate Cove and Pablo, well, with Jay Dean, our guest today, even though you're anchoring the show as well, is because people have asked us, where did this come from? Somebody's actually said to me, I didn't get it. Are you targeting kids now? No, I am not targeting children. This is a free lesson for kids, right? It's designed to facilitate the conversation that parents might have with their children. This is probably appropriate for ages 5 to 10, maybe slightly older, maybe 5 to 11. Although I have teenagers now saying I want Pablo t-shirts and things, right?
Well,
what Pablo
go.
Swag?
I tell you, you can create something that can explode. Well, the thing is, too, that you and I have talked about this privately in different conversations, that how I don't even have children, but I do have nieces and nephews, and many of them, several of them are grown up now. But the frustrating part is it doesn't seem to be that kind of education for kids. The things that, I don't know, at least my generation, my father said, this is how you balance a checkbook. This is how to save. I mean, does that stuff even happen in the school systems anymore?
A checkbook? Who writes in a checkbook anymore? No, of course not. Of course not.
But no, the basics. See, I'm old fashioned. I drink this stuff. So
you got a lot of moxie, Jay.
That I do.
These old fashioned phrases, kids won't have any idea what we're talking about. We're really not 100 kids. But, you know, those things have moved fast. I mean, I remember our fourth grade teacher teaching us how to write a check in class. We all had to bring in, she brought in paper checks. We all had to bring in, you know, a note from our parents that it would be okay. And she taught us how to write a check. And it was interesting because those basics are still here. You might not be writing a paper check, but you still need to know if you have enough money in your account, right? Now, at the age that we did this one for, and heads up, there may be, I've heard a rumor that there is a teen or tween Pablo coming our way.
Wow.
A little cooler, maybe doing some skateboard tricks, maybe dressed a little cooler. But
wow.
I'm going to grow up, I hope. So the basics are the same. And at this age, what we're talking about, even though we are introducing complex strategies, right? We're teaching them about interest, budget. I mean, these things are really boring to the average human, and we've managed to put it into a little cartoon that does not work like a PowerPoint, right? It's very light glossing over these things, but they get it. So for the interest, of course, we use jelly beans, right? What happens if you put jelly beans in a jar and the next day there's more jelly beans, right? This is how interest works.
Yep.
We introduce those kinds of things using a three-jar system: share, spend, save. And the kids seem to be getting it right away. I had no intention of doing this. I'd been asked for years to teach kids about money because, just what you said, Jay, it's not being taught in the schools. And the story is, we had a 7-year-old visiting us, and she grabbed my computer away when she saw that I was making a video for adults and said, "Do you do this for kids?" And by the next day, I had created her cat. Her cat's name is Pablo.
Oh.
Created Pablo, and to get an alliteration on Pablo, I used pirate cat. So Pablo the pirate cat was born, and then it went from there. I called you and said, "Jay, I have a fun project. Maybe you would be interested in doing it." And you said, "Can you be here at 12:30? I'll re-record what I need to." And you did.
If I get to become the teenage Pablo, I don't know what I'm going to do. Dude, you know, I don't.
You better start working on it.
You know what's really nice too is the spend, save, and share. That's something that, with all due respect to my parents, who I loved very much, they didn't necessarily put that into the mix of here are some important things you need to know about money, spending and saving, but sharing that, I mean, that's just wonderful,
Well, it's a luxury I have when I'm talking to small children, because they want to share with their friends. They still want to be generous, and they don't need to feel greed. And I don't want them to feel greed. I want parents to have this wonderful conversation about how money is a tool, and not how and how it should be respected, and how it should be used well, and how you get to make the decisions, and your decisions are what matter in the long run. Because sadly, part of that share category, or part of the spend, or part of the save category, may end up being taxes or college or something that's just too abstract at this age to talk to kids about. But we cement that idea that you need to divide your money, call it whatever you want. You're going to need to learn how to apportion your money and spend it in a way that, or allocate it in a way that makes your life better. And if you care, the lives of people around you better. So, yeah, it turns out that it's getting great play and acknowledgement, and we wrote a theme song for Pablo.
Pablo the pirate cat sails the seas with a hat on his head and a tail in the breeze. He's got a treasure chest, but here's the twist. It's filled with money lessons just for kids. Spend a little, save a bit, share with others, use your wit. In Pablo's Pirate Cove we learn.
So Pablo the Pirate Cat now has a theme song, which is available on SoundCloud, and when I last checked, had about 800 views in a few days.
Where though? That was the amazing part that you told me. They're listening in Great Britain, Korea, and somewhere else. Would you say in South America, where it's?
Fascinating. Vietnam was one of the highest numbers.
Oh, nah.
United States was tops, and then we had the UK, and I think Vietnam was next. I mean, it's free music, but it's really cute. He's
Yep.
sailing the seas with his tail in the breeze, and he's teaching kids lessons. These are lessons in his pirate chest just for kids, right? So anyway, that's a little background on Pablo the Pirate Cat, but I want to talk to you about why a professional like you, who's done, at least 30 books for Audible, who's been a voiceover artist on the air for how many years, Jay?
Since 1971,
A
I guess.
bit of years, right? Okay. And why somebody, when I called him and said, "I have this sort of fun project, maybe you'd be interested," said, "Can you be here at 12:30?" And we had so much fun doing this,
Oh,
right?
yeah. It was all scripted. To me, that's the best part. If it's scripted, you're all set, you know?
That's the first thing you said is, "Do you have a script?" And I said, "Sure," but it was all written in Pablo's voice, or Dr. Finwell's voice, right? My sidekick, my alter ego, Dr. Finwell, who is our AI concierge now and helping with Hug Your Money, right? And I came in and you and I sat in a booth, your booth that we see right now on the screen. And I sat opposite you and gave you one script and we took highlighters and said, you're going to say these lines, I'm going to say these lines. And you just got Pablo. You just, Pablo should say this, you would tell me. I think Pablo would say this.
The thing that fascinated me was at some point down the line, I got to see footage of some of these people that I grew up with, you know, in terms of, again, you got to be my age, I guess. Quick Draw McGraw, watching Bugs Bunny, watching whatever. I'd love to pay homage to some of the people that I grew up with. There are basically five people that come to mind. Paul Frees, Dawes Butler, June Foray, Sterling Holloway, and Edward Everett Horton. And I think people will recognize the voices for sure.
Needless to say, the luncheon there under the trees was a great success, and a good time was had by Puritans and Indian alike. Everything came off beautifully, with the exception of one minor catastrophe.
Hello. I'm what is known as an identifiable character. When you see or hear me...
So, your great, big, wonderful moose, maybe you could see to it that Hard Knocks wins next Saturday.
Bullwinkle, you can't do that!
Oh, yes. Time for my stoutness exercise. Up, down, up.
Once upon a time, in a large forest, there lived a woodchopper, his wife and their two children, Hansel and Gretel. It was a beautiful forest full of trees, flowers, butterflies, and streams. Matter of fact, there was just one thing missing.
So, I mean, do you recognize any of them?
Oh, yeah.
You're not as old as I am. You're nowhere near that age.
But... Well, I'll tell you, Rocky and Bullwinkle, of course, right away, yeah. Right? But no, I recognize all of them, but unlike you, I don't know all their names, right? But I think the clip says, if you hear me or see me, and the key here is if you hear me. You know, it conjures that image immediately. This Pablo the Pirate Cat cartoon or video book, really, right, is not, you know, an animated Disney film, right? It's very basic. Kids seem to be glued to it. In fact, it's the parents who say, I thought it was long, and the kids go, no, they're watching it again, right?
Yeah.
Fun pirate music under it and all of that. But I think that kind of simplicity causes it not to be distracting. The message comes through. There's something on every screen that we're changing, right? That we're teaching them one screen at a time, right? It's only about 30 slides long, right? But they're animated slightly. And Pablo is in every slide. You got to look for him. Sometimes he's in a tree. Sometimes he's on a desk. Sometimes he's behind the person. Sometimes he's doing some shopping. You know, Pablo's doing his thing in there. Sometimes he just scoots across onto a sidewalk to show his little face. But it's really a way to disarm immediately. If we could get through to parents, to adults in the same way, which we try to do, right, by removing that obstacle, that barrier to entry about managing money, because it sounds so scary. That's what adults come to me for, right? I'm not good with money. Help me fix my money. And soon they have skills that really let them do that. What we're doing here is at an age where children are absolute sponges and will learn anything, especially from a cat. Okay. And soon a cat and the cat's friend, I think, Lola, my Bengal, who's here right now, she may make an appearance. I think that's how kids learn, and they don't have a resistance to it. They're watching a cartoon. I mean, this is just like they learn about anything else, only this skill, if we can make it fun and impart it in a way that kids grab onto it, can be just fabulous. And I cannot thank you enough, because it would not have been the same, Jay. It would not have been the same with Dr. Finwell's voice throughout. Dr. Finwell is teaching the lessons. Pablo is learning the lessons. So the kids learn along with Pablo. Yeah. With yeah. Jay's voice. Do you think that you could do a little Pablo voice right now for us before?
Well, I'm not quite sure what exactly how I did it. Does that sound like him? I'm not sure. But you know, Dr. Francis Ram, I'm sure people have some questions. Can we get your phone number?
Yes.
That's
Yes.
a real cue.
That, yes, Jay, you can get our phone number. It's 413-773-3333.
And we'll be back with part two of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Francis Ram.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jay Dean, along with the Money Doctor, Francis Ram, and I neglected to get the web address in there. Of course, it's hugyourmoney.com, and we're talking about
Pablo, the pirate cat.
And now, if you've already kind of explored this and seen it, and now the kids can actually, with adult supervision, email Pablo. It's just simply pablo@hugyourmoney.com. This is very exciting. You know what you were saying before in the previous segment about kids learning, and I'm not surprised, because as kids growing up, and I'm not saying that parents don't read to their kids anymore, but this is kind of the same thing. I mean, is it a flashy Disney thing? No. But it's like them having a book read to them with pictures, you know, and like it goes right along with what people are doing now. Here it is, you know, they're on their electronic devices.
You can find Pablo the Pirate Cat on YouTube. Just look up Pablo the Pirate Cat. That's it. He'll pop right up for you. And you want the 17-minute version. Pablo the Pirate Cat, look for a 17-minute version. But you'll get it right away. You know, I don't have children either, Jay, but I was one, right?
Oh, sure.
And
Oh,
I've helped raise some. And I know what that feels like, to have a parent spend time with you and read a book where you get to choose, are you going to turn the page or not? And it doesn't just whiz by you. And kids know now, they're so video savvy, so computer savvy. They know, they just hit the pause button. There's a slide at the end that says, you know, you've earned bonus questions. And there's a slide with a lot of text on it that are bonus questions. There's no way I could have left that on the slot on the screen for, you know, 2 minutes while a kid reads it.
Yeah.
But the kids know right away, hey, I want to go back and see that. They poke the button and they just go back and read the questions,
nice.
Right?
It kind of, I shouldn't say, sneaks the information into them, but kind of, you know, and they get to love Pablo, and they're, you know, they're asking for his t-shirts now. I don't know. It's going to be, I think it's going to be a sensation.
Oh, look who's here.
Oh.
Oh, Lola.
Lola.
Now, Lola might be Pablo's friend soon. She's not holding her very comfortably.
Yeah.
Can you say hello?
She's a Bengal.
She's a Bengal. Yeah, see her little spotted belly?
Oh, yeah. Talks a lot, huh? Does she vocal?
Only when you ask her questions. She's not. She doesn't walk around meow, meow, meow at all. In fact, she won't even meow if she's hungry. I have to ask her, like, are you hungry? Lola, are you hungry? See, could you hear her?
No,
I couldn't. She meowed at me. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
she has food right here, by the way. Anyway, but she will talk to me about it. So is it part of something new? Well, there's a lot of new stuff going on at Hug Your Money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The biggest new thing is that we are now available as a benefit for groups. So a school, a company, an organization can now get financial wellness to all their people for really affordable money. You know, the same way we've done everything. No major commitment. You're going to love it, so you stay. You know, we just talk to people about what can help their people be more financially fit. And we're hoping that that trickles down to children as well. You know, if you talk to just about any adult, they will tell you that they wish they knew more about how to manage their money. And
Absolutely.
Mostly they wish that somebody would teach their kids, or that they taught this in school. You know, I never run into an adult that doesn't say, well, don't you think they should teach this in schools? So here we are to provide financial wellness to adults. And if it continues to go the way it's going, maybe we will have a children's program in schools.
And it's not just, you know, well, what one should we pay first? It's like there's a system that basically tells you the best way to do it. It's science, right? It's science and math, and it gets the what you owe paid down without necessarily impacting you if you just did it some haphazard way, right?
Yeah, it's a chessboard versus a checkerboard. Now we're looking out 10, 15, 20 moves in advance and giving you a plan to help you win. So that's really what we're doing. But I too want to go back to what we're talking about with Pablo, although I truly appreciate that you're a fan of the system and that you care about helping people be financially fit and doing better. But
the one thing it seems like in this world of late, you can control, you know, I mean, that power you can take back is more than empowering. It's like it puts you in a position so you don't feel like, you know, is the National Guard going to invade Northampton next? Huh?
Money by you itself. The thing is, money by itself, Jay, sorry to cut you off. Money by itself sounds like this thing you have to learn, or it's math, or it's scary, but there's no escaping it. Unless you're a monk, you're going to have to deal with your money, okay? So if we can give people a way to manage that easily so they don't have to think about it, now they're driving a car instead of the space shuttle, okay? It's not so scary. They know how to do it. They get in every day. It's almost rote routine, and it gets them from point A to point B. That's the kind of thing we're trying to do. But I want to go back because I really care about this conversation about Pablo and about your role in it. Would you tell us when you became interested in doing voices?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's funny that the one thing that my mom, God rest her, she would have wanted me to go into art. One of the first things I had a talent for, I guess, was drawing cartoons. And I did this very early, like 4 or 5 years old. And I think I remember looking at the back of a cereal box with Quick Draw McGraw, and I drew it out, had these crayons, and my mother kind of went, "Wow, how did you do that?" I said, "I don't know, I just drew it." Well, going forward, I wanted to make the balloons, you know, and I said, "Mom, how do I make them say such and such?" So she taught me the words, and so that kind of helped me along in school, but then watching the things on TV, I just was fascinated by the fact that, you know, you had these characters with their voices, you know? I don't know. It seems like I'm really geeking it up here, but that's what it was. So, you know, I just, again, thank you very much for letting me be Pablo.
Oh,
and maybe I'll be a Pablo teenage whatever at some point, too.
Well, you know, what we do is we listen to what people want and need and try and provide that. And so the only thing I wanted to do was entertain a 7-year-old for the couple of slides. And I thought,
what was her review?
Oh, she loves it.
She does.
Loves it. Yeah. We played the theme song for her the other night on a Zoom call. She lives in another state. And we played the theme song, and about, I don't know, a bar into it, she got up, jumped around, and started dancing, and she was digging it, you know? And of course, her cat's name is Pablo. That's where this was born.
Yeah, yeah.
So Pablo is now famous. She has told me some interesting things from a 7-year-old. First of all, when she left here, she said to her father multiple times, "When I go home, I have to look in the freezer behind the peas." Because Pablo says that's where the save jar was, or the spend jar, or the share jar. When she got home, her parents, of course, had to help her with the jars. And then she told us that she had hidden the 3 jars, and that Pablo went over and sniffed the spend jar and the share jar, but he wasn't very interested in the save jar.
Oh, boy.
But if you ask her, she's learned all kinds of things from this one little video. Things that I didn't put in there. Like, we asked her after she saw it the first time, just one time, right at the end, "Did you learn anything?" She said, "Yes, if you work, you make money. If you work harder, you make more money." I didn't put that in the video. She picked that up somewhere from the thing and linked it together with whatever parents have taught her or somebody else has taught her. She started to connect the act of earning money with what you do with money. We talk about why, if there's ever one reason a parent would want their children to watch this, it's when we talk about why isn't there an infinite source of money? Why is money finite? course, we don't use that language, but why can't you just always have more, right? And I mean, Pablo tells him why you can't always have more.
Yeah, at some point, I remember my dad saying, and I remember where this quote came from, and he must have heard it from somebody. Well, I can't be out of money. I still got plenty of checks left, you know.
I'd love to ask you a little bit about, we should say, the books that you do for Audible. That's your own voice, right? Your radio voice, not
Yeah.
or narration.
Well, yeah. And I just finished number 31.
Wow.
Yep.
That's
It
great.
was about your inner child. There's
Ah,
one particular author who, isn't that funny? Now,
perfect.
this one particular author, his name is Richard Banks, and I've been very blessed. He just, you know, you audition for books, generally speaking, and I did have to audition for additional ones, but he would ask if I would audition. I'm not saying that's a shoo-in, but I've done 8 books for him.
Pretty great.
So, yeah, and the thing is, the nice thing about this is that I don't generally do fictional things or multi-character things because I've just gotten into this, I shouldn't say pigeonhole, but I seem to be like Mr. Self-Help. You know, it's like his whole series of books are different things, like, and I can't think of the titles off the top of my head. But it's very easy to do because you take the words and you do your best to bring them to life. Most of the authors will always say they're looking for a narrator who can perform.
Right.
So Pablo was tough. He was hard.
Think
I
you
can
got it.
perform like Pablo and
You
like
got it.
this.
Well, you know, Pablo's an interesting mix of a human and a cat, right?
Yeah.
Very smart cat. He's teaching. Look
But
at his
certainly
little.
glad he can learn about finances because, like I said, for a young person, a young cat, it doesn't matter. You need to know that stuff. You can't just go around blindly thinking, I don't know. I'm just glad you're doing this. I'm because I think it is, and I'm not trying to say, oh, the school systems, we'll fix that. We'll do our own thing. But if you can't find it in particular places, but I bet you can Google now, you know, finances, Pablo, and something's going to come up,
You
you
can
know,
Google
Pablo the
Pablo
cat.
the pirate cat. Pablo the pirate cat will come up. Yeah. No, it's not, we're not blaming the schools. My gosh, the schools
I
are,
know.
you know, they don't have enough money, they're overloaded, they're busy, you know, but let's face it, the teachers teaching the schools maybe never learned about money in an appropriate way. I have a lot of teachers as friends. So yeah, I can't thank you enough for doing it because it is different to have Pablo have a real personality. And, you know, I just want to say that you are always very modest and I've heard some of your narration, and your narration, the reason you get those books is because who wouldn't want to listen to your voice, your radio voice, with your secret sauce and whatever it is you do to it when you start on those self-help books? I mean, it's very soothing. It's just great. I can't imagine listening to a high-pitched nasally voice while you're trying to relax and learn something about your inner strength, for instance, you know. So.
Well, no, I appreciate that. It's just that when I go to edit some of these pieces, because when you read something, you make mistakes, and so you have to go back. Or I have my little trick: if I blow a line, I go so that I can go back and see that little on the digital audio thing and fix it. But when I have to edit it, I fall asleep.
Yeah,
I
well, that's maybe.
don't think I'm that soothing. I think I'm pretty boring.
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. And I certainly, Pablo is not boring in any way. And I hope that kids do watch Pablo and learn something from him and
Well,
continue
Pablo was
from
more
that.
animated. I didn't have to worry about that. I could get kind of up for Pablo. So,
Yeah, Pablo moves pretty fast. That's how he rolls.
yeah, absolutely. Cats do that. Well, listen, it looks like we're getting pretty close to the wrap up here. I'm sure people have questions. Again, can we get your phone number for Hug Your Money again?
Yes, you can reach us at 413-773-3333.
Or as always, you can go to hugyourmoney.com. And keep in mind now, for fans of Pablo, and they seem to be growing actually by the day here, now you can email Pablo again, please, with parental guidance or parental permission. But his email address is pablo@hugyourmoney.com. Simple as that.
And he will get back to children with answers to their questions.
Oh, that's great.
He will
Fantastic.
pause. and to get back to them.
On that note, we'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Francis Ram. Thank you very much for letting me do this.
My pleasure, Jay. Thank you.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you. Underwritten by Hug Your Money. Hug Your Money, where financial wellness gets personal.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hey, Jess, how are you?
And we have a familiar face with us today.
We do. Today, we're actually turning our attention to something that's heartwarming and hugely impactful right here in our own backyard. For over two decades, the North Quabbin Foodathon has rallied our support to support local food pantries and families in need. And it's more than just a fundraiser. It's a living example of what small towns can accomplish when people come together with a purpose, Jess. So with us today is someone who's been part of that purpose from the very beginning. At least I think from the very beginning. It's Jay Dean. So welcome, Jay.
This is old home days. I mean, Jess and I have this every day. It's like, it's so nice.
Well, you know, I should prep listeners to know and watchers to know that we're going to flip back and forth between, you know, what it's like to be in the studio with you guys and what it's like to be at the Foodathon. So you folks may know Jay. You might recognize his voice from local radio like WJDF, where Jay and I first met, well, so many years ago, to Pure Oldies, which is what he's on now. Or you might recognize his voice from audiobooks you've read because he's a professional voiceover artist. But he's also been a driving force behind this event for, dare I say, 22 years, Jay?
Since 2004. Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long, but 2000 was the first one.
All right, we'll give you 21, head to 22 years now. So I can't wait to hear your perspective on how this all began. What's become of this year's Foodathon, and what do they have in store for us this year?
Well, I mean, do you want to know how it started? Or
I do.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Well, in that time, I want to give credit to someone who's not been involved because he moved out of the area. But there were four of us that were basically the steering committee. Rick Kwiatkowski was the town manager or town administrator in Orange. He and I just struck up a friendship. My brothers and I, of course, ran the JDF station from day to day. And one day I was just talking, you know, we'd like to come up with something that has some impact that will kind of, you know, something we can do every year. And he talked about something that he had done with a small station. He was a town manager in Charlton previous years. He said, well, they used to do this food drive and yada, 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 and raised a little money. And so I said, well, let's try that. We could do that, maybe block off 12 hours, do like a 6A to 6P thing and see where you can get with it. And my youngest brother says, you're nuts. What are you, crazy? You're going to talk for 12 hours? Who's going to listen to that? I always give him grief about it.
How do you say that again, Jay? You're nuts.
And there was probably more colorful language than that, but at any rate. So I think that all of us were just kind of, well, we play music all the time. How's this going to work? So between Rick and myself, then I said, let's call Carol Corville at AOTV, who runs the public access station. And the other person that came on to the committee is a name that might be familiar to the Western Mass area. Amy Clark was the executive director of the Franklin County Community Meals Program. So because it was the biggest entity we were aware of, I think we started off maybe with four pantries. Now it's six. But it was Amy, myself, Carol, and Rick on the steering committee. So we set up the day, got it all arranged. Carol brought some people over, public access has just exploded too in terms of its technology. But she had cameras that were hardwired through the cable system, which helped us out too. And we did a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. thing, and we thought, well, it'd be nice if we could get, this is Amy's words, if we could fill up the trunk of a car and get $500 for each pantry. And I think there were four. Well, that first year, we also had Pete Gary from Pete's Tire donated or let us use one of the 18-foot box trucks.
Wow.
We had one at, I think it was Hannaford, and we had one in front of the station in the center of town. We filled two 18-foot box trucks and raised $13,000 in 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, people really do care about this.
Yep.
I have a little minor involvement with it this year. And when Jay asked me, I said, yeah, of course I would do this. I mean, who doesn't want to feed people in need and feed families in need?
Yeah.
And yet with the grocery prices where they are right now, I can't imagine a year where this was more needed than this year. It's astonishing. I mean, even commercials for cell phones are coming out with things like grocery prices are up. It's a cell phone commercial. Okay. Everybody's using this, but it never hits stronger than when somebody who already is having trouble feeding themselves or their family has to tolerate these kinds of prices. So, thanks for giving us some feel for who launched it. I think off air, you mentioned Monty to me.
Well, that's what I just wanted to say. I don't know, and Jess could obviously fill me in better on this. I don't know how long the walk has been going on, but I mean, it's just, I feel an affinity because everybody gets into that. This is something we can do, and this feels good, and you help somebody, or you don't know who you're helping. I mean,
right.
You know what
That's
I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those good karma things that you feel good about when you're done.
I
kind of bow to Monty in terms of how big that event is. The other blessing we have is that with all sincere sympathies to his family, I just can't imagine. But Jim McGovern has always been involved with us too, and he comes on during the course of the broadcast. I think last year he literally had his cell phone. He was shooting himself on the cell phone as he was walking from his office to the Capitol for a session. But, did his interview with us and talked about his whole thing has always been, in this country, this should be fixable. People shouldn't go hungry. It is fixable. And as you said, Francis, it's...
That's right.
I saw something. Worcester County Food Bank and Food Bank of Western Massachusetts both come on and interview with us as well. And I just saw some publicity about the Worcester County Food Bank. There's some sort of a shipment that didn't happen because of things that are getting cut. And it's like, close to $475,000 worth of something. That's going to have an impact.
Wow. That's like five cartons of eggs now. Jess, a lot about what happens with Monty, I think, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
He's been doing it about 14, 15 years at least, and he does a 43-mile walk from Springfield to Greenfield is where it ends up. And as you were saying, Congressman Jim McGovern does the whole 43 miles. The other thing that's really great in this area is all the local legislators get involved. Like you'll see Lindsay Sabadosa out there. You'll see Joe Comerford. The mayors in the cities will come out during that day where they are. East Hampton Mayor Nicole LaChapelle. They all really get involved. And this walk that Monty does is just a really big part of the Western Mass Food Bank, the budget, because it raises just so much money. I think it was close to $1 million last year.
That's amazing. Oh, for folks who don't know Monty, let's give him a last name.
Monty Belmonte.
Thank you.
Yep.
It's amazing the amount of money that, as Jay pointed out, you can actually have a part in doing. You can do something about this. This is an opportunity, a real opportunity to get involved in some way. We'll talk in the second half, I think, about how people can get involved, but you could volunteer, you could donate, right? You could participate in different ways, but you can make a difference in your own community.
What's amazing to me is that when COVID hit, the food collection part of it kind of went south. Mm-hmm. And yet it kind of averages around, I don't know, 30,000 every year, it seems like. But that first year in COVID, it just went to monetary donations. Mm-hmm. You got like $50,000.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
In that year. Yeah.
Do we have a goal for this? Do we have a
No, that's it's funny benchmark? That as part of the long-standing steering committee, people always bring that up, and I get kind of irate.
Well, happy to make you mad, Jay.
Why don't you calm down, Jay? But the thing is, the problem has been, if you say, oh, we've got a goal of this amount of money, you know what the first question from the media is?
Did you hit your goal?
No, right.
You know, it's not important. The goal isn't important. To me, the importance is just give what you can, and it doesn't matter whether it's a dollar or some of the businesses that cut checks for $1,000, $2,000. It doesn't matter. Every little bit helps, and it's just that, you know, I guess it's just a matter of, I realize people are always goal-oriented, but this, to me, was always, we just try to raise as much money as we can in 12 hours' time. And that's
you know what your answer can be, Jay. What? Yes, we hit our goal. We fed a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's the goal, to feed people.
I know we're going to get to it in the second half, but I do want to just let people know what is the date of this year's event?
It is Tuesday, May 20th, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. It's always the third Tuesday in May. Tuesday, May 20th.
And what's your goal this year, Jay? No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you, I promise. But, you know, when we've had like a lot of the legislators on talking about this, and I think it was East Hampton Mayor LaChapelle who said, like, when she was a kid, she had to take advantage of some of these services. So this is a thing, like, you never know when you might need help. So if you are able to help when you don't need it that year, that's wonderful, because, you know, by next year you could need it. You don't know.
It's funny, many people will, although the food donation part of it has kind of stepped down, people still bring bags or whatever. And it's funny, in the first couple of years, we were always moved by people who wanted to bring diapers, you know, diapers or products for, you know, women's products or pet food or, you know, just things that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
What kind of women's products, Jay? What kind of women's products could you get specific?
Well, no, I think I'm saying that people would think, you know, this might be something that they just can't afford.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah. At the holidays, we usually do a pet food drive, and it's very popular that people just come and leave cans of pet food, you know, and pet blankets and things, as long as they're new and clean. And I know there are criteria. So just before we go to break, Jay, can you tell us a little bit about how many pantries are involved and the different kinds of ways people can donate? They can donate monetarily. They can bring food. Give us some details about that.
I would say the food part of it, you could probably drop off things. We'll have crews both at the Hannaford and Athol and the Market Basket as well. It benefits 6 pantries. The one that would be most familiar to people in this area is the Franklin County Community Meals Program, because they have several community meals and pantries as well. They have a pantry in Orange. Also, the Athol Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul of St. Mary's Church has a pantry that they maintain. The Our Lady Immaculate Church group in Athol, several churches, and they also put together a pantry where they set up, you know, things for people to pick up. The community food pantry at Athol High School, Shirley Mitchell has, over the past couple of years, has just done amazing work to get the kids involved, and they see how important it is. Also, the Wendell Good Neighbors Food Pantry, and they are also our fiscal sponsor. We, at one point, as a collective group, were going to try to make it a 501c3 foodathon, quote unquote, but it only happens once a year. So it's more foundational than it is, you know, a nonprofit. So they are the fiscal agent. So that's it. Yeah, that's the six. Salvation Army, Community Meals Program, Wendell Good Neighbors, St. Vincent de Paul, the Athol High School, and Our Lady Immaculate Church. The easiest way for people to donate is to, if they want, and they can do it right now, is to go to nqfoodathon.com. And on that website, there is a Venmo and a PayPal portal. And anything is appreciated, you know.
We're going to have much more coming up. But first, Francis, can I get your phone number?
Of course. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with Jay Dean and the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, with part two of Financial Fitness on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and special guest, Jay Dean. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Okay, Jay, I have to ask you for some fun things, you know, about what it's like to be at the Foodathon. What would surprise people about what happens behind the scenes?
Oh, boy.
If anything.
No, it's, you know, it's funny from the radio perspective, and you both can talk from this perspective too. You just get in front of the mic and kind of talk. And to be honest with you, the TV part is pretty much the same, although, you know, from the control room, sometimes something will come over the speaker and say, you got to wrap it up. It's almost 15 minutes, you know, or no, it's a lot of fun. It really is. And, you know, the thing is, I never would pay attention to on the radio, obviously, is you see the monitor and you can see what they're shooting. You know what I'm saying? So you can move around while somebody gets into their seat. And, you know, it's TV is kind of much bigger on screen than you think it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's,
you know, but no, TV is a different game. TV is a different game for sure, but you interview people, right? Can you paint a picture of what this Foodathon is like for somebody who's never seen it?
Well, we're going to have some segments, obviously, that so we can take a break from talking for 12 hours straight. And I'm very tickled that Ask Me Now is going to be part of one of those musical breaks. That's going to be great stuff. But no, people come in, and like anything else, you know this, it's stories. I mean, think of all the people that have come through that have, you know, for Hug Your Money. It's the stories that are compelling when people come in and say, you know, the first or second year, and sadly, this gentleman's passed away. But he was a younger man, very handsome. He was a construction worker, heard us do the broadcast, came down to the station and said, I want to do this. He cut a check for $500 and left it with us.
Oh, that's great.
Went away. You know, a big, burly, handsome guy. Came in maybe an hour and a half later, crying. I didn't do enough. He gave us another $500.
Oh.
The stories are just, you know, there was a time when I had to eat, you know, little noodles and, you know, I want to do this. It's been okay for me the past few years. I can do this. I can help. And I'll tell you, by the time 5 o'clock gets there, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, people start to get teary eyed just because,
It must be something when the donations really start to happen. You have this concept, you know, we're going to get on the air. We're going to line up some guests. We're going to have some breaks. And we're going to hang on the edge of the cliff for 12 hours and hope that people will be kind and generous. And when that comes to fruition, when you start to see those donations rolling in, what's that feel like? What does do
no,
people
no,
start
th-
talking
thank
about?
You very much, because as we're talking, I'm forgetting about some of the things that happen as you go through each hour. Carol Corville, who's directing this whole thing, and a crew of, like I said, there's probably 100 volunteers that go around, get the money, count it up, and bring us hourly updates on, you know, how it's going. Yeah. So when you're at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're at, you know, I don't know, $14,000, $15,000, you're going, wow, you know, this came in since six this morning.
Yeah.
We have, you know, it's just moving. It's, yeah.
I know you have some businesses that are particularly generous and they may remain anonymous. They may wish to remain anonymous, but is there anyone that you feel that you can, without embarrassing them or calling them out, point to that, that has gone above, you know, above the, over and above the top?
Well, I mean, the obvious one that comes to mind for me is Pete. And I don't want to exclude any other businesses, but I've known and I worked for Pete at Pete's Tire Barns for 6 years in the office. And he's got like 20 tire dealerships all over New England. He treats his employees very, very well. He's very generous to the community. Will buy so much material, Christmas time hams and whatever, and donates it to food banks. But no, each year he usually cuts a check from Pete's for like $5,000 and gets some tire dealerships to kick in. So he's, you know, comes in every year right around noontime with a check around $10,000. It's just,
yeah, that's amazing.
He's just so dedicated to it. And I often will, when we interview him, I think he gets a little embarrassed, and I'd say, you just do so much for the community, you know. It's, and he goes, well, the community's been very good to me and to the company. He says, I got to give back, you know. It's, yeah.
Well, that's what this is all about, right?
And many, many companies take part in this too. And I would encourage people again to visit the nqfoodathon.com. You can see a listing of many of the businesses that have donated. And they do it year in and year out. I mean, cut some big checks. And, you know, you cut a check for $100 and you don't realize how far that will really go to get, you know, to buy the supplies or get the food. But as you said, Francis and Jess, you know, too, right? This year, you watch the news and shake your head and go, you know, how are you going to survive with this? And the reason I love this so much is that it's local money. It comes in and it gets sent right back out to those pantries, divided up evenly.
You have an interesting career as a voiceover professional and as a DJ. You know, can you just tell us a little bit about, like, what made you choose that career? How did that begin?
Going way back?
Yeah, going way back. What
I think
lit
my
your
mother
fire?
Brought me to WCAT over in Orange, and I saw them playing records. And most people don't even know what records are. But, I mean, it just fascinated me. And I think as a kid I used to watch American Bandstand and thought Dick Clark was as slick as you know what.
So, yeah. Do people recognize your voice in public?
I think some people just know me and they say, oh, I heard you talk about this or that and the other thing. There's been a couple times where I'll go, oh, I know you from someplace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very gratifying. I enjoy doing it. It's, I know Jess and I talk about this all the time. We recently did the River Rat Race. It was so much fun seeing people just come up to you. And, well, I remember Jason Rushford, he'd come up and say, Jess, I listen to you every morning. You know, so
yeah,
it's
I love
nice.
That.
Really nice. Yeah.
Well, we were talking the last half too, really quickly. I just wanted to get back to something you said, that the students really get involved. What are they doing to help? I know you mentioned that.
Well, Shirley has a whole crew of kids that just come in to help stack the shelves of things they have there, or, you know, do administrative tasks. And some of the kids will come down, I'm sure, during the food-a-thon and just, you know, we interview them, say, how's it going? You know, what do you find most gratifying about this? Yeah, it's just, here's one thing. I got to tell you this. Since we've been doing this from 2004, and Francis asked me about, you know, people recognizing you. Well, they didn't recognize me necessarily, but I went through the thing at Hannaford, maybe, you know, picking up some groceries. Let's say it was 2013, and I had a food-a-thon hat on or something, and they, the young person at the register said, "Oh, I grew up the food-a-thon."
That's
the
amazing.
Other memory I got to tell you about real quick. Unfortunately, we don't do this now because of the food collection isn't what it used to be. But the Dexter Park School and Fisher Hill School, which is in the center of Orange, maybe a mile from the center of town, maybe not that far, the kids would put a bunch of food in wagons and pull the wagons down to the food-a-thon event. There was never a dry eye anywhere when they saw that. And we'd interview the kids. We'd say, you know, why did you do this? Well, some people are hungry, and that shouldn't be.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Kids are the best. Kids just totally get it. How can you get involved in the food-a-thon?
In terms of last-minute activities, I'm not quite sure. As we lead up to it, what we do is in the center of Orange, in the center of Athol, when you drive through, they'll be collecting money as you drive through. So as we lead up to the event each year, they're always looking for people who want to maybe, you know, you basically stand in the street and you have to sign some forms to, you know, to sign off on things. And it has to be somebody 18 or older. But, you know, there's that way. I'm sure each of the pantries, again, you can get information, their contact information from the website. They would always welcome any kind of help, too, I'm sure.
If you're a business listening to the show today and you decide, hey, I would like to get involved, maybe do like matching donations for an hour, would they be able to do that? Could they call somewhere to find out how to get involved?
If someone were to come from a business and stop down to the event on that day with a check,
that would be great.
We would welcome them to come in and sit down for a second and just ask the question, like, you know, to create another story. What motivated you to do this? Mm. You know, I just hope we see a lot more people just thinking, boy, yeah, the world is crazy. The news is crazy. Things are getting cut. This is one way I can help.
Well, I know that with rising costs, you know, every family's looking out for themselves and worried about going to the grocery store themselves. But for just a moment, think about whether your big problem is whether you buy salmon or chicken and somebody else's is about whether they eat or not.
Yeah.
If you just have a couple of dollars and think it's not going to make a difference, all that stuff adds up. So if you're someone that has like an extra $5, like that's welcome because that adds up quickly.
You know, those are sometimes the donations I think mean the most. You know, Jay, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your lovely voice and your heart with us today. And you have such passion about this.
Can I just drop in the place where they can probably watch it, obviously in the Western Mass area and out of the cable system in Athol and Orange? The easiest thing to do is to watch it on AOTV13. That's 1 and 3, not spelled out. AOTV13.org. That will the entire event will be streamed. And like I said, Francis, if they just watch it, I mean, just becoming aware of it helps, you know, because it might be the thing that just makes the switch flip for somebody to say, you know, that's a good thing for us to donate to every year or on an ongoing basis. Some people do that. They set it up so that they donate $15 every month. Just comes out of there. I mean, you can do that, I think, with Venmo or PayPal.
Yes, and we'll put that information up so everybody can see it. I want to thank both of you for participating in this show and wishing the North Quabbin Food-a-thon all the best. And until then, I hope we can stay kind and connected and financially fit.
Jay, can we get the website one more time?
NQFoodathon.com.
All right. Perfect. Jay Dean, thank you. And
thank you.
Dr. Francis Ram, let's get your phone number one more time.
Of course. It's 413-773-3333.
And as always, you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor. Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.